Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
So I was told to hold on to the story in the offseason because I didn't want to overhype Laravia before seeing him play, but I can tell the story now. Laravia obviously shares an agent with Austin, right? And it's Aaron reps he's on his way up in the agency game, but it means that the guys that do share Aaron as an agent. They all are very close, right? It's actually really cool to see how these guys, and this is pretty common, right, within similar agencies and stuff. But apparently they were as I was kind of told, apparently the Lakers were kind of working out in one of these practices before training camp. And Austin is the kind of guy who, like, if he likes you, he gives you shit. Right.
Okay.
Like the way that he talks about Luka, Luka the other night goes for 40 something or whatever. And Austin like tells him, thank you for finally doing your job. He's that kind of a guy. So apparently there's this group text with those guys. And Laravia, I guess, was playing really well in practice. And Austin, I guess, was the person who was in this group text. Who's like, look, you guys know me. I will not hype up a guy on empty calories if it's that. Laravia is fucking killing it in these practices or in these fives and stuff like that. And again, like I'm always skeptical on some of this stuff, right? Because you just never quite know. I did kind of trust it coming from Austin because I just think he's incapable of bullshitting. Like he's genuine to almost a fault. But hearing that about Laravia, it kind of got my, like, it perked up my ears a little bit. And I was kind of curious how he would look in preseason. And I thought he didn't look comfortable in preseason and at the beginning of the season. And I thought it was really critical for him to have that one, the first really, really shorthanded game that the Lakers played in, where he had to have a green light. He had to shoot because nobody else could really shoot and nobody else could really score. And I thought that was his green light game. And apparently he talked to JJ Redick and he talked to Rob Pelinka and he talked to, you know, and those guys all told him, be aggressive. We need you to be a scorer. We need you to be the basketball player that we know you are, that we paid you to be. And I've thought that game, that first game, I think, was it the Memphis game or was it the one before?
Yeah, I think it was in Memphis where he had like 27. Or it might have been Minnesota. I can check.
I think it was Minnesota. I think it was the game before.
Yes, in Minnesota, he had 27 on 10 for 11 shooting.
Yeah, and I thought that game was the one that kind of, you know, unlocked them a little bit. And I just, you know, since then, and I thought, like, tonight, I'm as hyped watching this game tonight as I was the Minnesota game.
I agree, because
finding a way to impact the game and help your team win when you don't have it going, that is such a rare character trait in basketball players or in athletes. You know, it's like the baseball player who, like, you know, can't quite hit the ball over the fence. So it's like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to get on base and I'm going to steal a couple of bases and I'm going to apply some pressure that way. Or I'm going to get out into the field and I'm going to make some solid defensive plays and I'm going to help my team this way, rather than, you know, hanging your head like, damn it, I've hit two to the warning track. What the, you know, it's just get out there and be a winning basketball player, be an athlete. And I thought tonight was a really, really cool Laravia game.
So I know I am, like, I understood every reference there now because I've watched more baseball in the last
year
than I ever thought I have. Dynasty is obviously bringing extra fans, right? And obviously if it's in LA, then I'm just naturally inclined to follow it. And it's been cool just to be a baseball fan every October because we just win, I guess. And that's just how this works. Everyone's stress texting me and I'm like, this is gonna work out. Like, I've seen this movie once last year and it worked out
one time.
And I'm, it worked out.
Growing up a Dodger fan, we were the opposite of that.
Okay. Yeah, I've had a completely different experience with that. I just feel like this team wins at every pace. But no, I'm with you. Laravia's been so good and he just fits, I think, this team perfectly. He was a guy that, again, I wrote about this in the summer, that he was hiding kind of in plain sight. Like, his numbers were like, whoa, this guy, like, obviously he was playing on some weird lineups. He was in Sacramento, as we mentioned earlier, and he was in Memphis, right, as well. They were a really weird Memphis team without, you know, John and Jaren really that healthy. But you look at his numbers, you're like, this guy is kind of just waiting for the right volume to kind of keep up with the efficiency to keep up with the volume. And it seems like it has so far.
Last guy in particular that I want to talk about before we get to like a macro culture take is Ayton, because he's playing in Portland tonight. You know, it's an opportunity for a revenge game. There's all these jokes coming in, is, you know, are we going to get dominating? Are we going to get this? And are we going to get that? And I thought he thoroughly outplayed that front court. Like, thoroughly, every time the Lakers needed a bucket, he was, you know, scoring one of those flip shots and stuff like that. He even actually threw a lob down tonight that he really got up for. It was of the kind of like nail in the coffin plays that was kind of cool to see. He was also super active on the glass, both offensively and defensively. He finishes tonight, played 31 minutes. Scored 29 points, grabbed 6 boards, 4 of them offensive, couple assists, 3 block shots, 14 of 19 from the field at a 73, almost 74% clip for him there. Got to the free throw line, split his two free throws. I thought it was a really good Ayton game. And just kind of like we talked about with LaRavia, like one of the cool things watching this team play is I think they all kind of recognize how much they need each other and how like the kind of, like you said earlier, like the opportunity, I think everybody's kind of like starting to recognize, LeBron included, you know, everybody's kind of recognizing like, ooh, Luka looks like this. Austin looks like this. We don't even have LeBron back yet, you know, and it's like I think Ayton kind of falls in line with everybody has been hyping him up. He talked about how people were like picking on him before games to get him angry before some of these games.
Yeah,
he played this one angry, and that was fun to watch.
He did. We got an angry DeAndre Ayton. I think it was, I said this before, I thought it was really important, and these are all human beings, right? It's very easy to go to any bad team and go, why aren't you running back on defense, even though the team is 3-20, right? And
yeah,
you know,
losing sucks. Yeah,
and, right. And so, but like when you've established a winning culture, and it feels like you have a bunch of guys keeping each other accountable, that's part of the anger. Part of it, right, is getting DeAndre Ayton angry. I also think they're just kind of joking around as well. But there's a level of accountability where they're going, no, you are a big part of this team. Like the offense runs through whatever Ayton's screen action is, like whether it's with Luka, whether it's with Austin, it's going to be with LeBron coming back. And tonight, Ayton, it's just absurd, Anthony, to have a big that he touches it below the free throw line. And I know it's going, like that's going in at a super high rate. Now, there's some physicality stuff that can bother him, but just a guy that he had to play tonight where they threw it to him in the post. I don't remember who he had on him, whether it was Jeremy Grant or their big Klingon. He just did a fadeaway turnaround jumper swish, and it was just like nothing. Ran back down the court. Like, that's just what he does.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Just a super talented offensive big, but I kind of want to focus. I thought defensively, he's been just at as much as you could ask. Like, again, I think this all relates to them winning and kind of being engaged. And when you're on a good team, you're more inclined to do these type of things. But his rebounding, his kind of attention to detail, the rim protection that he provided. He had 5 fouls tonight. I thought like 3 of them were very touch foul stuff where Portland was kind of initiating all the contact, but that happens in this league. Him being able to, again, get in foul trouble, come back in the game and still impact it the way he did. What a fine, and at the value that we have him at to get him for basically free. Ayton's been awesome. Like 6-2, and I believe he's missed one game so far, missed a Miami game, but no, Ayton's been really great. And again, I just want to see it with all the guys. We've got few bits and pieces of it. Him and Austin got a crash course basically because Luka's been out in preseason and they've really built their chemistry. Luka and Ayton, I think, have started to really build their chemistry as well. But no, Ayton's been done everything that he asked, and just as a threat from the mid-range, being a 50% mid-range guy, like I think AD was a mid-range threat. It's just the numbers really tailed off, like,
yeah,
especially after the bubble. Ayton is a legit like 50% mid-range shooter, and that like he doesn't space to the three-point line, but just spacing even that far opens up so many things. He was again a release valve tonight. You mentioned 29 points. He had 10 rebounds. Don't know the amount of, I don't remember the amount of blocks, but just been consistent every night, and that's all you can ask from him.
I don't know. I meant to say 20 and or 29 and 10. I don't know if I said 29 and 6, but he had 10 rebounds total, six of them defensive, four of them offensive.
Yeah.
And those look the way that Portland has found their success this year was by winning the possession game and winning the field goal attempt game. And I had, you know, when you can get offensive rebounds against a team like Portland, that's looking to turn you over, if you can get multiple attempts on possessions against a team that is reliant upon, like depends on winning that possession battle, that's how you wind up beating them in the long run. And I thought Ayton played a very key part in that. My last thing on Ayton too is you mentioned the toll that being in a losing situation can take.
Yeah.
But I also think there's an immense toll that comes with being told you are something. Whether you're being told something that you actually are in the moment, whether you're, you know, your reputation is earned or whatever. But I always go back, and one of the things that I talked about when the Lakers picked him up was how Phoenix told him, hey, be a winning basketball player, do the little things, set hard screens, care about defense, rebound, be physical, do all these things, and we will, we will take care of you if you do all of those things. And then he does all of those things, and Robert Sarver, right at the very end, just goes, psych. And like, if I'm Ayton, that would completely alter my view of this league. And, I kind of thought that, I watched him do those small things at one point in his career. He knew how to do those things. And then ever since then, he's been in these losing situations. And I've always been kind of curious, like, what would it look like if he got to a winning situation and a team and a roster around him that truly believed in him? Because I don't think Portland ever really did. Like they traded for him, but it was because like the price was so low. And I think the Lakers, look, they signed him because it didn't cost them anything. So like, I'm not saying that the Lakers had some incredible foresight here, but I did think that like, if you get him into a situation where he's with Luka, who he shares an agent with, and he's with a guy like Austin, who kind of understands like what it's going to take to hype this guy up game in, game out, and you get him into a winning situation that really actually needs him to be good in order to live up to the expectations that they have of themselves, I was always really kind of curious what this would look like. And look, it might still be the honeymoon period on this, and maybe eventually we get a regression to the mean on Ayton. I'm just saying that, like, to this point, the mean here, I think, is somewhat skewed by the situations that he has been in basically since he helped get Phoenix to a championship, you know, really early in his career.
And let's be real, like, DeAndre Ayton's not a $8 million player because of talent. Right. Like, that's not the reason he's on this deal at all. Like, it's for a bunch of other reasons that we don't have to get into here. Talent wise, DeAndre Ayton is absurd. Like, you can put him up with the best centers in basketball in terms of just what he can do offensively and even defensively, as you mentioned, that he's done before. And he's playing, in my opinion, with the best backcourt in basketball. He's playing with maybe the best passer in basketball, with the other one on the bench yet to come and play with, to meet him yet on the basketball court. He's probably overqualified for the role that he's in. Like, basketball doesn't really work this way. You don't get to just put Bradley Beal on a team and go, okay, Bradley Beal, you're now my 3-and-D guy, but you're so overqualified for that role because of what you've done in the past. That's not really how basketball works. It's not a clean fit, but I think just in this circumstance, it's worked so well because Ayton is so, like, he's so skilled that he can kind of fit in different places. And he's being spoon-fed shots that, like, and Like, he just doesn't, he would not get elsewhere. The attention is so much on the guards that he's getting freed up, like, short roll shots that he can dream of only. And he's going to eat on those 29 tonight. And none of it looked forced. None of it looked Ayton's forcing the issue or, you know, trying to pad stats or anything like that. It was through the flow of the offense. And tonight, obviously, is not, you know, he didn't have the shot creators with him tonight. But I think just throughout this season, his shots have been easy. It's been through the, you know, flow of the offense. And he's just a super talented big. And the Lakers are fortunate to have him on the deal they do. And he looks like he's engaged, Anthony. And that's a scary thing. Like, engaged DeAndre Ayton on both ends has, you know, has anchored a finals team. That's a real thing he has on his resume. We'll see if he can do that here.
Well, an engaged DeAndre Ayton that his teammates and his organization is legitimately invested in making sure he remains engaged. Sure. And again, these things matter, dude. Like, having belief in the things that you were building. I've been at places where it was like, you know, I was just like a buy low option coming off of Vox, you know, and it was like, yeah, you know, we'll see what your show can do. And then you arrive at a place like Odyssey here where it's like, the, you know, where these people are like, they had looked at the stats at the show. They had looked at what the show had done previously. They had looked at my projects previously. And they were like, you know what? Let's throw some support behind your vision here. And let's see what we can do about, you know, bringing in other Lakers shows that you could partner with, and let's build this thing out, and let's really believe in that kind of vision. And I'm looking at Ayton here, and that spark that I'm seeing from him is, you know, it's a really cool thing. You know, it actually kind of reminds me, Raj, of Dwight, the second time that Dwight was a Laker, where everybody had kind of given up on Dwight, and he was this vetman guy, and you know, he had already reached like the tip top of his profession, and he's at a spot where it's like fighting, scratching, clawing to remain in the NBA. And the Lakers give him this shot and they give him this role, and he thrives in that role. And he finally gets to feel the love of this like Lakers fan base, right? Because the first time he was a Laker, it's kind of a weird relationship there, and it certainly ended poorly. But now he finally, like, when Dwight got to come back to LA and helped win that championship, you kind of saw that like spark in his eye again for the sport. You know, that was actually really cool to see. And I thought the Lakers made a mistake by not bringing him back.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
And I think here with Ayton, you know, you kind of see the way that he talks about playing and the way that he talks about the success that he's having, whether he personally is, you know, like tonight he scores 29 points. He's talking tonight after tonight's game in the same way that he has talked about other games where he scores like half as many points or less than half as many points, a third as many points even. And all that he has seemed to care about is his team's success. And, you know, I think that's pretty endearing.
Yeah, and it's, again, I mean, it's sometimes like they list the ages of the players, and somehow Luka only being 26 just always jumps out at me. But Ayton still's only 27, right? And so you mentioned Dwight, who was obviously past his 30s when he came back. But
it's not apples to apples, but yeah.
No, for sure. But Ayton, again, like that's what I mean by the talent still being, he's in the peak of his prime, at least should be, right? 27 is kind of where you hit your prime years. He's obviously got the big contract already, but this is kind of where the experience matches your physical like peak form, and so you're kind of in that perfect place where the game has slowed down but your body's in that peak position. That's the age he's at right now, and it looks like the Lakers are, you know, primed to have that for the season. But I'm with you, they all believe, and he's a very transparent player. Like that's what's really like cool. He's an awesome person to listen to him talk, because he'll tell you everything, right? He shows it all on his sleeve, kind of. That's a great person to have, and he's just very open and transparent. And when he's had a bad game, he's very clear and open about it. And when he's, you know, feeling good, he'll kind of express that as well. And I like that. And I think it really fits this group of guys.
Yep. We have a super comment here that kind of leads into the culture aspect of this conversation. So Justin Tindall writes, the bad vibes in training camp like they didn't exist. Culture being built is impressive. Braun better toe the company line. This is a good team. I really believe that LeBron, now he wasn't there tonight, right? He didn't travel with the team, which is I don't think you would normally do when you're as far out from returning as LeBron is. Luka was there. Austin was there. Austin was hyped for Nick Smith Jr. It was a cool picture.
Whole team was, which was cool. Yeah, the whole team collecting him when he got to the bench was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like Bron tweeting about, you know, I think he sent out an Instagram post about the lob that Austin had to Bronny. He has tweeted about Austin's performances. He has tweeted about Luka. You know, he's just like, And he's a lot more active on the sidelines. Like, look, LeBron isn't, I don't think, the best poker player. I think he thinks he's a much better poker player than he actually is. And I think if you read between the lines here and you can kind of look at the actions that he's taking, you're seeing a guy who's kind of looking around at the situation and he's kind of like, All right, let's go. You know, and I think you're seeing that from LeBron. And I'm actually not very worried about him towing the company line. I do want to talk about like the culture thing. And look, I've seen the trolling comments here in the chat of like, man, just imagine what it would look like if they cared about preseason. I still maintain that, like, I you know, my nerves going into this season about, like, not caring to the extent that I wish they had in preseason games. But what I did say at the time, and Pete and I talked about this, was based on some of the things that we saw when more guys were available, I did think they were actually getting the most out of their practice time. And at least in terms of, like, implementing the system and working on these kind of cultural things. The conditioning, I don't think, was quite where it needed to be. And I think that's why you've seen some of these soft tissue injuries that they've picked up. But like at the end of the day, they currently sit here at 6-2. They are the 3 seed currently in the West, and lead the Pacific Division. The Clippers just lost to the Heat tonight.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, you know, I think the culture part of this, and culture is this really weird thing to try to talk about, you know, because right now it might feel like they have the best culture in the sport, and maybe, you know, they'll lose three out of five, and we'll be like, oh, where'd the culture go? What happened to it? You know, and it's this very in the moment thing. But what I will say, Raj, is the expectation is there, and that's where culture starts. If there is no expectation there and follow through on expectation on, you know, what every player who plays is, you know, it what is demanded of those players when they walk out onto the court. Like, one thing that I really liked watching, people kind of laughed at it in the moment, but when JJ Redick like rushed onto the court and asked Jackson Hayes, what the fuck are you doing in last night's game? And then immediately benched him too. Like, that was the part of it. That was that second step there where he takes Hayes out of the game completely. And like, that was a part of it that Darvin was missing, where like, there was no accountability. There was no follow through when he would get frustrated with the team. It was just like, oh man, that sucks. Well, keep on playing, Torian, or keep on playing, Cam. And it was just like, and to me, you know, at least from what we've been able to glean, and you could maybe speak more to this, you know, being in the building more often, but the culture seems to be a real priority that they're trying to build here. And it's been fun to watch some of that take hold.
I love that we've gotten to the portion of the show where the chat is guessing my age, and it's ranged from 18 to 53 somehow. So
53?
Somewhere in the middle,
they had to be guessing my.
It's somewhere in the middle of those, numbers. No, it's definitely like you mentioned, you know, JJ coming in, running on the court, kind of being upset at Jackson. But you can't do that without having the relationship with the player, right? There's got to be an understanding where both of them kind of know, can kind of have that relationship. I think JJ's like, obviously, coaching isn't just playing guys through things. Like, it's also playing them in the right positions. There was, you know, a lot of wonder of like, why is he giving Bronny so many minutes? And you're kind of seeing kind of the, you know, the reasoning behind that. He's got him ready. And, you know, coaches talk about this all the time of keeping every player ready to go. Like, that's a real challenge in a season. And I think JJ just deserves a lot of credit for being able to throw in a guy like Nick Smith Jr. in this game. And he's ready. Like, he doesn't look phased, doesn't look shocked. He threw Chris Mannion in a game recently, and he came in and you know, looked ready to play. That's just a level. I think that's what good coaching is, when you can have every player on your bench know their role and they step in and they're ready to go for it. Now, that helps when you're winning. It's a lot easier to do that. But no, the vibes are good, or immaculate, as the kids say. It feels like everyone's really kind of rowing the same direction, and his team is obviously feeling good, and you kind of see that on the bench. You see that, you know, in post games when they're interrupting each other, you know, before they speak. JJ's doing his presser, and Luka's on the side kind of heckling during it. That's just that stuff you do when a team's kind of really connected and the vibes are well. So
I don't think there was very many Darvin Ham pressers that guys were showing up for.
Well, I mean, when you're you're not playing well. Pressers aren't too happy.
Dude, they made a Western Conference Finals in this first season there, and I don't think there were very many guys who were like showing up and like, you know, doing that. They were really excited when Darvin won his first game. I'll give them that.
Yes.
But yeah, certainly by the end of his tenure, I don't think the guys wanted to spend any more time around Darvin than they needed to. And look, like, the fact that like, so last season ends the way that it does, right? They lose in the first round, and I would call embarrassing fashion. You would say that was a close five game gentlemen sweep, however we want to define it.
It was, man.
But the fact that they would go through that experience, and JJ would have the ear of his team the way that he appears to so far this season, I do think is worth noting. And again, it's easy to identify these things when they currently sit 6-2 and have had the success that they've had this season. But I think a lot of that success is predicated on that culture that JJ is at least building within this roster. Now, hopefully it extends to the rest of the organization and we see further buy-in from the upper levels of the organization as the season goes along. But as it stands right now, you know, this was a culture win. You do not win like the Phoenix Suns when they had Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. They did not win this kind of a game. Those teams that frustrated the Dwight Mayer Lakers teams, right? That this is going to be fun group. Those teams did not win this kind of game. The Lakers, when they had LeBron and Russ and AD, those squads would not win this kind of game. They were down the same level of talent, you know, that some of those teams faced in some of those games. And those teams lost by 40, even to a team like this Portland Trailblazers team. This was a win that you know, I think that J.J. Redick will enjoy his glass of wine tonight.
100%. I remember in not comparing the teams at all, but I remember in 2020, the Lakers had a game on the road in Chicago, and I think they were down like 15 or something, or 18. It was like Kuz's first game back, and the bench just went nuts and won the game in the fourth. AD had a really bad game. I mean, I don't remember if LeBron played, but that was one of the games I stamped early. It was like the sixth or seventh. I don't remember what game it was. It's like, man, this team has something. Like, they believe they're not just good. Like, you know, a team's good, but you know, when they know they're good, like, that's when you hit a different level. Yeah. And this is that type of game to me where, like, the whole team knows, like, yeah, we're shorthanded. Like, we could have laid down tonight, but no, like, I'm Rui Hachimura. I'm Marcus Smart. You know, I'm DeAndre Ayton. Like, we're talented too. And so we can come in and lead a team in a, you know, a tough place to play like Portland with a bunch of young guys that are fiery. Shaedon Sharpe, Tamari Kamara, who's hitting like three threes in the first quarter. Drew Holiday came in, tried to take the game over. Again, that's a good team. Danny Advia, I think, dropped 30 tonight. Ooh, they had a stat on the Spectrum broadcast that he averages more points against the Lakers than anyone else. Just random stat. 29 again tonight, or 30, whatever he had. But no, this is a big time win, and they play San Antonio in a few days. There's going to be out Dylan Harper. And so, you know, and Wemby's playing like a guy who's not from this planet. So it's going to be a tough game, but a chance again to kind of continue on the road and see if you can move to 7-2 before this big East Coast road trip.
Here's the, this is the picture that I was kind of talking about earlier. This is Nick Smith Jr. He's making his way back to the bench. Here's Austin waiting for him. That is so dope.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah.
That is such a great picture. And by the way, like, this is Austin Reeves. He's about to get paid, right? Like, capital P, capital A, capital I.
Averaging 35 a night.
Paid. Like, yeah, like.
Superstar right now. Yeah.
He got votes for player of the week this last week.
Yeah.
And this is about as pumped as I have seen Austin all season. And it's for this dude, Nick Smith Jr., who's on a two-way contract, who was looking at the end of his career, you know, in far too clear a picture that he would have liked. And he's coming back to the bench. He has somebody like that waiting for him. And by the way, behind Austin here was actually Luka. Like, that whole bench was going nuts, absolutely apeshit for the stuff that Nick Smith Jr. was doing to the Portland Trailblazers. So, yeah, those are those kind of moments that you kind of look back on, you know, as you know, like you're saying, those moments that you kind of like, you know, you write down on a piece of paper and you come back and you're like, this is when they were building something, and this was the Nick Smith Jr. game. We'll see if we can maybe get a few more Nick Smith Jr. games over the course of the season. Raj, anything else before we get you out of here?
No, that was a fun one. That was exciting. Again, I think this team is really good. I thought they'd be able to survive without LeBron. 6-2 without LeBron. I thought I'd be able to score, and they've had 140 last night against Miami, whatever they got to tonight against Portland. The offense is clicking. The defense
123.
Seems like 123. Yeah, like, again, that's without both your cars don't have two
all
engines.
All three of them.
Yeah, well, cars don't have three engines either, but whatever, like, all three of your the car and the wheels are off, or however you want to, you know, put that.
Well, it's like, it's like a boat, right? Let's not use a car analogy, but like a boat. Like, imagine a boat. Like, you have an engine, you have a rudder, and you have a sail. And the Lakers were missing all three of those things, and they somehow got that boat to move.
Right, right. And not only move, it somehow is like in a race with other boats, and it won the race.
It beat Portland's boat.
Which had everything, like all the goods on it. It had extra water on it, and you know, we were still able to win. Yeah. It was great.
All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you to Raj for hopping on. Raj, anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
I should have some videos up, and I'm going to go and rewatch this one and, you know, kind of break down Nick Smith and stuff like that. And I'll be in the building, should be in the building in a few days. It'll be the last game for a while. It's been fun being there, at all these games and kind of getting to ask questions and kind of ask stuff that I really want to know about in terms of the film and things like that. And,
I want to give you credit for not laughing when Jackson Hayes said, like, catching, pocket passes and operating in the short role is the strongest part of his game. It was like, Jackson, you're 7 feet tall and you can jump 40 inches in the air. The best part of your game is dunking.
Yeah. Your lob threat is insane. Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. When I watch Jackson Hayes, or when I think of Jackson Hayes' game, I do not think of him operating in the short role. But no, it's been fun to watch you there, Raj, and the questions that you're asking have been really enlightening as well. So congrats on that. Keep that up. And until the next time you guys hear from me, which will be tomorrow, maybe with Harrison. I'm not sure. Either with Harrison or it'll be a mailbag episode. Either way, have a great rest of your night. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you when I talk to you. Have a good one, everybody.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.